Okay, ready? Now we're really gonna do the show. That's a practice run. Hello and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I lost the magic on that one, didn't I?
It wasn't essential.
I whispered it into Buster's ear, so we just realized after recording for 5 minutes that the record button hadn't been pressed. That was my fault. My name is Erfan Elijah. I'm your host. I'm here with L. Caney.
Hey,
Buster Hine.
What?
I was introducing you. Charlie Sorrell.
Hello.
John Brownlee's here. And we're here again at CES. This is day two. We spent the day doing keynotes, so we went to a bunch of keynotes from all the major players in tech.
This is a much worse introduction than
I know,
the first one was way better,
because we just got into it naturally. So I was explaining in the first try, before we realized that the record button wasn't hit, that we spent our day here at CES going to keynotes, learning about all the newest tech from all these major companies, and we're going to talk about that in a second. And then we also spent tonight at a... what do you call it? A press event?
A party.
A party. It's basically a
press event.
It's a press event.
Tons of booze, tons of food for all these like moochie journalists.
Yeah.
The only
right.
way they can get them to come out to do anything
is by buying me drinks.
Apparently
for dorks.
Right, and then
free
a bunch
food,
of companies.
Free drinks.
Crappy
probably
food.
How many companies were there? Like 100 companies, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's actually a cool way to get to look at a lot of products all
right.
under one roof.
Very
quickly, so, and they have these kinds of things pretty much every night for press. They try to get us all there, schmooze us, booze us, wine, dine, and six. What's the other digit? Eight. I think it's 68 us.
They 69 us?
You got 69.
Well,
reminder for all of us, no swearings. I don't have to bleep anything out because right. that takes me forever. Leander, I'm looking at you.
Wait, did I already ruin it?
No, you're good.
Okay.
It's just the number 69. That's nothing wrong with that. It's the number before 70. So,
yeah, you tell your kids are learning counting lessons.
Yeah, so this is day two of CES. As I said, tomorrow the actual show is going to start. We're going to hit the floor, and that's when we're going to be looking at all the gadgets that are on the floor. But we want to talk about... John's rolling his eyes. I think that he just passed out.
No, I'm all right.
Okay.
I'm all right.
We've been drinking a lot less tonight, too. So this is going to be great.
A lot less?
Well, yeah, because last night El Caney almost passed out.
Leander's been drinking less. Yeah, that's
actually, yeah.
I thought everybody drank more tonight.
Okay, so wait, yeah, we drank more. You did, which is
Charlie didn't drink.
Yeah, okay.
Same amount.
You drink a lot of water.
I was drinking lots of Coke and getting kind of wired.
Did you?
So I had to have a conversation with somebody, and I made no sense. Look, I'm doing it again.
I thought that made sense. So let's talk about the keynotes, guys. Since we all went to a keynote today, everyone except for El Caney.
Hey, Leander, what keynote did you go to?
Yeah.
What did you do today?
Hey, listen, Leander? I was planning through all this email. I'm on the front of the site, behind the email.
I'm plowing through these SNL videos.
This is really a networking opportunity.
Did you go to a keynote today?
Panasonic.
Okay, Charlie, why don't we start with you? Because you only said 10 words yesterday.
Okay.
So tell us about the Panasonic keynote.
Oh.
Anything cool?
No, I mean, it's smart TVs again, but now they've, instead of making them with some stupid widgets on the screen, they have the stupid widgets, and you can use them with your iPad or your iPhone or your Android device if you you're unlucky enough to have one of those.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take your pictures from it's a little bit like AirPlay for other things. So you can get your pictures off your iPad and stick them on the screen and show people. And supposedly people can take them off the screen and put them onto their iPad if they like.
Okay.
And these are just like CSI, right? Those
yeah,
TV
like CSI,
shows?
Yeah. These TV shows where they have one of these like big surface table with all the pictures on it, and then they at the end they go...
I cannot watch that show, because every time I watch that show, I'm like, that is the biggest bunch of bull I've ever seen. Like, they're all wearing Bluetooth headsets.
You should watch Bones. Do you watch Bones?
No, I don't.
There's a computer woman in that. It's ridiculous.
And I'm like, the UIs on those browsers that they're using don't exist. They're so
well,
ridiculous.
Well, they do now. He just saw it at the Panasonic
Panasonic
this
made
morning.
It. Panasonic made it.
No, I doubt they look as cool. This is the one with LL Cool J you're talking about,
but,
right? Oh, wait, I guess they have like 10 CSIs.
But anyway, this is part of a trend, though, here at CES, right?
Yeah,
because
what?
CSI?
Yeah.
That trend?
It seems, yeah, that's it. The
CESI?
Yeah.
That's the trend you're talking about? Next year it's going to be about solving murders.
the show, it's like the only interesting stuff, really, that I've seen so far is accessories for your iPhone or your iPad.
only an interest.
So they're turning big TVs now. Again, you know, another iPhone iOS accessory. Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know what's funny too is like not a single 3D TV that we've seen.
Oh,
so far.
I've seen 3 TVs.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, they had one last night.
Not 3 TVs, 3D TVs.
3D TVs at Unveiled. Yeah, they had it last night. The 4K 3D.
I think my
TV.
Brain's automatically just makes
3D TVs, like 3 direct TVs.
I'm so confused right now. Yeah. I'm
okay,
just
so that was Panasonic. We can talk about Intel?
Yeah, let's talk about Intel.
Okay, so
Intel
John and I went to the Intel keynote, which was a great, it was a great time. You wouldn't think that it would be. But they started off with the hokiest, like, football video.
They
like,
got, like, some, like, wannabe Ken Burns to do, like, back in 1913.
This is literally how they started.
Like, Notre Dame fought the Aztec generals. And
it was a game changer. Yeah, and today, we have a game changer.
Yeah, and then they do this, like, really cheesy CGI, like, football zooming towards the screen, and just as about to, like, come into the audience, just blows up into a million pieces. And they're like, welcome to Intel, the game changer. Like,
and John and I erupted the laughter, totally unplanned, like loud laughter. We just start laughing because it just looks so ridiculous. And this guy next to us just turns his head 90 degrees and just totally mean mugs us.
He was so prissy. He was like,
you got laughing. You know?
It was hilarious. And there was a British guy next to us. He was like, oh, you gotta be joking. He kept saying that throughout the entire thing. Like, every time they released something, he was just irate. Yeah. He'd be like, oh.
There's a lot of guys. Aww. There's a lot of guys. There's a lot of guys at CS who are like fishing to engage with you about stuff. So you hear like a lot of like complaints out That's loud awesome. To nobody in particular, and you're just like they're just waiting for you to get sucked into it. So you know like they can pounce. But
so anything that we saw that was cool out of that keynote, then John. After
well, what was the keynote about? What was the game changer?
Well, basically the game changer was like that. As far as I could see. Like, they want you to be really impressed by all this stuff they're doing that sucks, and the stuff that they're really, really good at, they're just, like, kind of putting as a PS to the show. So, so the whole show, they're like, we can track your eyes with computers now, and we can do a 27-inch tablet. Like, you can take your desktop and put it on the floor, and your kids can play Monopoly on it. So you can spend, like, $1,500 for this Monopoly set, like, yeah. instead of, like, $20. And, like, it was, like, all stuff, like, you're, like, okay, I guess. Intel's just very much like, let's make PCs across the board more like tablets. So laptops, all their Ultrabooks now, they're making it mandatory that they have touch. Mandatory.
That was a big thing. Sensory input, they're building that into everything. So they make it so that it tracks your eyes, you can interact with it via touch, it understands your voice. I mean, they're basically, to me, it felt like they're trying to catch up with Apple.
Well, what they're doing is they're trying to, I mean, they don't have a lot of services, but what they're trying to do is bundle hardware and services just like Apple does. I mean, that's obvious. They're like, they've got their wireless display thing. That's also like, that's their AirPlay, that's their answer to AirPlay. They're making all Ultrabooks like adhere to that standard now. So they're definitely doing stuff like that. But the problem is that a lot of the technology they're showing just kind of sucks. Like, they'll be like, oh yeah, we can track your eyes. And to show you that, they, like, demonstrate somebody, like, searching in a Where's Waldo virtual book, and you're, like, looking at him on stage, and his eyes are just bulging out of his sockets at one spot for, like,
he's
10
like this.
Seconds.
He's like this.
Like, you see laser beams just beam through them. And,
he's
like,
all sweating because he's not sure the demo's going to work. He's just like, okay.
And they're just going to take him off stage and just put a bullet in the back of his head if it doesn't. Like, and, you know, there was just, like, stuff like where they're showing you, they're like, you know, we don't think that you should have to pick up a keyboard and a mouse to control your PC, which is fair, but then they show you things that are clearly, like, so much more work.
The guy was like, would you rather do this? He's playing a game, and it was literally a Python barfing out gold coins. I'm not sure who came up with this demo idea, and he goes, whoa, he puts his hand, and his hand, like, enters the screen, and he's, like, catching all the coins in his hand.
It was rendered with garish ineptitude. Bollocks.
Like, bloody hell.
Please silence your cell phone. Yeah,
so that was pretty much Intel, right?
Yeah, well, and then
hold on, what about the fanny pack?
They were giving free fanny packs, which were great. We wore them all.
That lit up Twitter when I was watching the SNL videos in the press room. Okay. My Twitter stream woke up with all these, like,
It was
mystifying. Like, across the board, the audience was filled with, like, sweaty, flabby guys who cared about Intel. And then they give you these fanny packs filled with emery boards and nail polish.
Buster unlocked the mystery.
Because it was all about touch, so all those things were, like, finger things. Like, they had nail polish, emery boards to fix your fingers. They had, like, gloves that go on your fingers.
Yeah.
So it was all, like, touch-related products.
Oh,
Purell, Pure Hands.
Yeah.
Although
okay.
It was all very fun.
Well, I do want to say that Intel did show, like, some really cool CPU stuff. Like, and they're talking about core processors that you could use in the, like, MacBook Air that would give it, like, a 13-hour battery life and make it 20% thinner. That's all really cool. Like, they've got a 7-watt processor. But for some reason, they don't want to talk about that stuff. Like, I guess they just take it as read that people
know. Maybe it's just
not
as exciting.
Was anyone go to the Qualcomm one? There wasn't a Qualcomm?
No. No one did that.
But with the special surprise appearance from Steve Ballmer.
Oh, is that when he showed up?
I think so.
Well, that's probably kind of curtailing, because I think Qualcomm's eating... That's who Intel's scared of. That's who's going to eat their lunch, because of all the mobile processors.
So it's interesting that Ballmer was there.
Yeah. That's where they're going to be. Like, and you still
like, forget you, Intel.
Samsung.
What was the i7, i5 tablet we saw yesterday with a 2-hour battery life?
2-hour, in quotes. Yeah. 2-hour. I didn't see it.
That's
Buster, tell us about Samsung.
I went to Samsung and LG. Talking about, like, LG, just quick. Like, you're talking about, like, inputs that are just, like, a lot harder than like a normal input. Like, they have this new remote for your TV where you can actually write the channel, like, in the air with the remote.
Oh,
instead of
no.
clicking the button.
You guys can't
you know,
see, but I just rolled my eyes
remote.
And shook my head back and forth.
It was ridiculous. LG, there was nothing there. Samsung, they debuted some TVs with a lot of stuff that, you know, kind of like they think what Apple would probably put in a TV, like this S recognition where it'll predict what kind of shows you want or recommendations.
Doesn't TiVo already have that?
Kind
of. It works
of.
Pretty good.
And I mean, iTunes would have that, like a genius type of thing for your TV. And Netflix does have that, suggestions for you. So that's actually smart. But they also have a refrigerator where you can tweet from your ice tray, you know, which is very helpful. They had this TV that's actually like beautiful hardware, beautiful display. The bezel is very thin, but that it's on like this weird floating stand where it's like, looks like a soccer goal.
It looks like a soccer
you know?
Goal, literally.
And it's just like.
It's got a stand. It's not actually floating. Just a stand.
No, it's just a stand, but you can't take it out of the stand. Like, it has to, the TV is part of that stand. And it's a mess. I just thought, like, with Samsung, it's like they don't know what the hell to do with TVs because Apple hasn't done anything yet. So they're just like,
they're waiting.
They're like, what the hell are we going to do? Let's just throw this crap into our TVs and be like, oh, maybe somebody will like this.
It's like when everyone was coming out with slates, like before the first iPad came out.
Yeah.
They were all
very confused.
Sorry, can I say that?
No. Well, yes.
To me, it sounded like you said chip box.
Chip box, yeah. Box of chips. These boxes of chips.
Oh, I hate chip box. Yeah,
yeah.
Those are terrible.
Like
your accent saved us on that one.
Yeah. These thick they were just like PCs. They were laptops with a screen turned around.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, here's a slate. It's like, oh.
Like these confused products, and then Apple will come out and it gives them the direction that they need. And that's kind of like what I was seeing with TVs. It's like, oh, once Apple comes out, everybody will be like, oh, that's what we should have done.
Right.
And now let's copy it really quick, because Samsung's great at copying stuff. And but, I mean, they do make great stuff. They just, you know, not very original with it.
Yeah.
That's fine. Like, you know, there's lots of companies that don't do that.
As long
like,
as they admit that, though. I feel like Samsung feels like they're being original.
Well, companies like, oh, you know, like, I mean, I talked to Moshi today, who's a great company, and they actually did kind of be like, yeah, we're not the first to enter a space, but, like, we try to do it with a little bit of flair. And, like,
see,
I appreciate
that.
Yeah, but, like, what company is just like, we're bereft of imagination, we have
well,
no
Intel.
Creativity.
Well, Intel was talking about how they defined the Ultrabook category, and we were both
like, oh,
what?
Oh, well, they were like, they were like, they said a lot of crazy things. Like, across the board, they were stealing Apple's moves, which is really funny because they started
they
off.
They did that by, last year, too.
Yeah,
but then
yeah,
they
yeah,
give
yeah,
themselves
yeah.
credit for being original and thinking of these ideas.
Well, they started off the whole thing by, like, comparing themselves to Notre Dame, who popularized the forward, like, who did the forward pass back in 1913 and therefore changed the game of football. And it was a weird analogy because, like, they were trying to say, like, see, we create all this stuff that's going to totally change the game. But the truth of the matter is that Notre Dame thing, they just ripped it off from somebody else.
Yeah.
And they popularized it. So what Intel is really saying is we're ripping off Apple's moves and trying to, like, market them to, like, a broader audience.
Yeah.
Like, you know, which I thought was just hysterical.
Samsung was saying some of the same crap. Like, they were, like, kept saying that they're predicting where people want them to innovate. You know, like, we're getting great at predicting what people want. And I'm like, if you look at Samsung, they're, like, the opposite of it. You know, they need somebody to show them, you know, where people want them to innovate. And then they can get there really quickly, but they need, like, guidance to get there first, you know? Same thing with, like, Intel needs Apple to show them Ultrabooks first, and then, oh, duh.
And then they change the name and, like, we came up with this.
Yes.
So I went to the Ford press event today. It was actually pretty cool. So I'm a fan of Ford's passion for integrating technology into their cars. So they announced they're expanding their AppLink program to any developers. So they're releasing API integration, which basically means if you're an iOS developer, if you're an Android developer, you can create an app that will work in their car, so you can control their stereo, the screens in their car, the microphones in their car. And they showed some examples of app developers who have created some apps that work in the Ford. Nothing was really compelling, so it'll be interesting to see what people actually do with this technology. One of the apps was called Be Couply, and it was like this couple that was like, are you having problems figuring out how to go on a good date? Like, go into your car and we'll tell you, like, what kind of dates might interest you, and then you pick one, and then we'll tell you where to go that's near you. And I'm like, what does this have to do with the car? Like, you can do this on a bus. Like, you don't need to be in a car to do this. This is just a GPS locator that gives you directions to places that you might be interested in your local town. So, but it was cool that they're opening up this API development to pretty much anyone. It's going to be free. So if you want to develop an app for Ford cars, you just go to developer.ford.com, download their API, or I'm sorry, download their software development kit, and you can try to make something that will help make people crash.
Do they have an app that counts up how many pedestrians and cyclists you run over while you're playing with your apps?
Well, no. The safety was a big thing that they pushed. They're like, your app has to go through stringent safety requirements.
Yeah, but that doesn't stop people not looking at the road.
Well, that's a great point, because one of the things that they were talking about was the big thing is they're pushing voice integration. So the apps that you build, they lock you out when you're driving. So there's just a static screen that says this has been locked because you're driving.
Sometimes that's actually pretty smart, wasn't it? Because they were saying that it does do a pretty good job of making sure that you're not, you know, that your attention's not on the app.
Yeah, that was one of the main focuses, obviously, is they don't want you crashing your car into John Brownlee and why he's walking across the street because he doesn't own an automobile.
I don't.
So they don't have a Tetris hooked up to the steering wheel?
No.
Oh, I want that. Then just display it on the windshield and stuff.
Like HUD.
And you're just like...
And you gotta move the steering wheel in order to navigate.
Well, they're bringing those.
Yeah, and that's it. And the gas pedal and the brake would slow it down or make you drop.
So anyway, that was Ford. Actually pretty cool. Let's move on to the Pepcom press event we went to tonight. So as we mentioned earlier, this is a giant press event. It's a huge ballroom where they feed you full of food, try to give you a bunch of alcohol, and then they put like 7 zillion like vendors in there, and they're like, hey, Cold to Mac, love that website, come talk to me about my Android camera. And you're like, okay. hey, you're from
Cold. Which we don't do until they offer us a free pen, and then you go, oh, okay, yeah.
Hey, are you from Cold to Mac? I love horses. Come on over here. And the funny joke is, like, they're all badge people, right? So you're wearing your badge, and people are, like, making eye contact with you. And then all of a sudden, they start eyeballing your chest, and then you can tell. It's like, you know what it's like to be a woman for at least 10 seconds? Because they're, like, furiously just, like, looking at, like, your chest to see where you're from and whether or not they want to talk to you. Right. So I thought it'd be cool if we went around and just talked about one thing that you saw that you actually liked. Leonard, let's start with you since you're on that side of the table.
Oh, no, on the ball. Well,
what about that table?
Yeah, what about the one thing you're going to write about?
Actually, I have two, but I forgot what the other one is. But I went to Herman Miller, and the dude there, they had a stand-up table that goes up and they showed me the executive chair, like the super expensive.
Costs like $1,000.
Yeah, and it's like super customizable, and it was really, really comfortable. First of all, I sat in this like the cheap low-end one,
mm-hmm.
and I'd been eyeballing that for the Cult of Mac staff when we refurbished later this year.
Oh, okay. You're going to send one to my house?
Well, maybe. Yeah, you know.
And by maybe, I mean no.
Probably not. Maybe more like an orange car. But anyway, sat in an executive chair, super comfortable, says it's adjustable, and he says, here, check out this table. And it's he impressed a button, and it rose, you know, like one of Steve Jobs' pedestals coming up from the stage. And it turned into a stand-up desk, and he had these two arms on it for monitors, but of course there was an iPad attached. And the interesting thing, I guess, he was saying that, you know, there's all these changes going on in the workplace, he's saying, that people are using iPads more and more as their main machine. And so that's why they need to have an arm, because there's no easy way to use an iPad without holding it with one hand.
Doesn't that make it a little bit more, like, strenuous to keep, you know, reaching up and touching your iPad instead of it being, like, right on the desk where your hand's resting?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't actually sort of, you know, true. I didn't, you know, do any... I didn't watch any SNL videos instead of working. It was... it looked pretty good standing there. And, like, I use a standing desk at work now. And it looked like it might work. I was kind of interested. Anyway, yeah, so he gave me his card.
You use a standing desk now.
With a really tall chair. So he doesn't have to stand up.
It's only because there's like 200 people in that little office and he has to like stand there against the corner.
It's true.
You guys realize that like the reason most of us like entered this profession was to not have to stand up in like retail environments for the rest of our lives, right?
I spent 20 years sitting and it was just like, it's killing me. I mean, I've really felt towards the end that it was killing me. I could feel it just sapping the life out of me.
It's just 20 years it's killing you, not the...
Let's move on. Buster... we gotta keep going.
All right, we gotta keep this train moving.
Hey, Buster, what was your favorite device? All right, well, moving on.
You know, they had this... God, I didn't see anything cool, to be honest with you. They had the, like a back massager that you can hook up to your iPod.
I knew you were going to talk about
so
that.
So that it massages you into the rhythm of Justin Bieber's
lyrics. What about a foot massager that hooks up to your iPod?
They do.
They had one of those last year.
I believe Nicole Martinelli has blogged about those before for us.
Yeah, this
is a request.
This is a back massager, though.
We did a video on that, too, which will be on Call.
Yeah.
You can see Buster doing his best Gadget Hunter.
You could open up another camera.
Open Elijah.
Wife beater.
Gadget Hunter.
So, you know, there is that.
Stella Artois, otherwise known as
Charlie.
Wife beater. That's what we call it.
A Bluetooth-controlled wife beater.
This is known in England as wife beater, Stella Artois, because you get so crazy
wife
drunk
that you beat your wife.
What if you're not married?
If you go into a bar and you order a pint of wife beater,
beat something else.
They'll give you Stella. Seriously.
Charlie, what was your favorite gadget?
The new Garmin Edge GPS bike computer. They've replaced the 500, which is like a classic, with the 510, which is too big.
Yeah.
It's got a touch screen, which is kind of cool. It uses the GPS and it does a GLONASS. Am I being too quiet?
No, I'm turning up the volume because you're being too loud.
You're being
too
loud. But the big thing is it's got Bluetooth in it, so it now connects with your iPhone. There's a new app that comes out tomorrow, I think. And the iPhone uses the connection, so the GPS thing can pull in weather data and people can track your ride from afar. So if you're on a trip, people can keep an eye on where you are.
Cool.
It's kind of cool because you used to have to take the thing and plug it in with a USB into your computer and it would use some crappy, I don't know, some driver
you've installed. So you use one of these for your bike when you're riding around Barcelona.
It's another
one of those devices, more real-time data, you know, like, again, that was, you know, we were saying yesterday, all these devices that are giving you data through your iOS device.
John?
Well, I saw, like, a Bluetooth-enabled thong. Like you basically pair it with an app, and then you give your you know significant other the app, and then they can detect like pH content and like all
that
sorts
sounds
of
like
stuff.
Something I would not buy.
No. I don't know. I like the Ubuntu phone. Like I went by. I thought it was cool. Like you know, John Gruber during Fireball.
Can you explain to us what the Ubuntu phone is for people that may not know?
Yeah, so it's a phone, so it's like this magic little box that you held in your hand that like connects you with the world. And then Ubuntu is this like Linux operating system. And so together what you do is like basically what they're doing is they're putting a full desktop OS on a phone. So it's kind of like if you remember the Asus Pad phone, which was sort of like a big joke last year where the guys like came out and he like the Asus' Steve Jobs was like, is it a pad? Is it a phone? It's a pad phone. And it was like a phone that you put inside a tablet and then you put inside of a keyboard and it could like
a turducken phone.
Yeah. So it was like all of these things all at once. And you know, you could basically dock a phone into a tablet and the tablet into a keyboard and it could transform into various things. But like they're serious about this, and you know, I think they've got an interesting point where they're you know, they're probably a little bit early to the game, but like the idea is that you take out your phone and you plug it into like a tablet or a computer, and basically the distinction between like a laptop and a desktop or a tablet is blurred. Like, these are all consoles for this tiny little computer that sits in your pocket that you keep everything with, right?
But Dropbox does that already, no? So you can use any device that's actually designed properly.
Well, you're just talking about the files, though. Like, I'm talking about, like, the whole system. Like, you know, like, Dropbox won't keep your UI settings or...
True, but if the phone's not powerful enough to power, you know, a desktop-class machine.
Well, no, not now. And I think they're early to this, but I think that that's obviously the future. Like, I mean, does anybody really foresee the way that technology is going, that in 10 years we're still going to be, like, you know, having, like, a $2,000 laptop that's separate from our phone? Like, no. It's, like, it's going to be, like, I think that that's the way it's headed, like, where, you know, most of us are going to have one device and we're going to, you know... And we're going to have various ways of interacting with that device as consoles, depending upon the kind of content that we're trying to absorb. But, you know, I mean...
Well, they're going to run it ass backwards, though. I mean, because you're getting an iOS every year, more and more features are added, every year, more and more sophistication. You know, like things like, you know, email, you can add an attachment now, which you couldn't do for a long time. And you know, all throughout the operating system, there are all these different capabilities. You know, it's getting to that point where iOS is and Linux are sort of going to meet in the middle, right? But Linux is coming from the opposite end of the scale, where they're trying to shoehorn all these features into this tiny little device.
I don't think they're trying to shoehorn anything. Like, I looked at it; it was great. Like, I thought it was a fantastic operating system. Like, very different than iOS. Like, there's very minimal UI elements, which some
it's
people
gesture based, entirely gesture based. Right?
Yeah, but it, like the effect of it though is that like content is really full screen. Like, there's not like you've got the, you know, which makes sense. You got this tiny you got this tiny screen in your pocket. And it doesn't make any sense that like 33% of that is choked up by UI elements.
Well,
like,
unless you want to actually know how it works.
I mean,
you have to learn gestures that aren't obvious.
Well, this is a timeless debate about like discoverability, and some people say that these things can't be discovered, and other people, you know, there's tons of stuff on the iPhone that is not discoverable, classical sense.
I guess
sense.
It doesn't matter, because the only people who are going to buy an Ubuntu phone are neckbeards who
don't
know this stuff anyway.
No, but what they're doing is they're going for, they're like, look, our strategy is this, we're going to go for emerging markets, and we're going to go for corporate customers. So we're going to go for, you know, which is kind of interesting. Like, they're going to
corporate customers are buying the iPhones.
Well, you know, the iPhone doesn't let you turn it into you can't just put it into a docking station and have it as a work machine. And like, you know, like we can all sit here and just be like, well, you know, why are they even bothering? Because they're not the iPhone. But like, these companies have to try something, and like,
yeah,
good on them for trying.
I think Samsung's got the right idea. You know, just wait until Adam does something and then rip it
out. And do something that's almost as good.
I mean, they can't admit defeat right out of the gate. Like,
yeah.
It's just not possible.
I'm surprised,
like,
that the Ubuntu people even talk to you because you don't have a neckbeard.
Yeah, well,
this isn't a snarky question, but do you have to use the command line to install apps on the Ubuntu phone? Like,
Ubuntu's had an app store on the desktop for a while, I think.
I haven't,
like,
used it for a long
in
time.
In fact, I think they've had it for years. Like, it's not really, I mean, it's just an app depository that's the easiest way. I think that was one of Ubuntu's, like, main graces.
It's called GitHub.
No, like, I mean,
compile from source.
No, but like 5 years ago, I think they had this. Like, I think that was one of the reasons why Ubuntu has become a major Linux distro is because it was so easy to install apps compared to everywhere else. Hmm. Like, I think they really popularized a lot of this.
Is it brown?
No, it's purple. That's their new thing. It's purple and orange. You know,
gray color scheme. Hey, let's talk about my pick because I haven't gone yet.
Should we just end?
Yeah, let's just do that. Because my pick is nearly not as interesting as your Ubuntu phone conversation.
You're going to cut that out, right?
Oh, gosh. Maybe I should. So,
you can leave the neckbeard jokes.
Yeah, I'll just cut in the neckbeard jokes. So the coolest thing, I was going to pick the Fitbit, the new Fitbit thing saw. Because that was actually really cool. So Fitbit has a new silicone bracelet that they're coming out with. And it looks really cool, but I'm not going to talk about that because you've probably all heard about the Fitbit, and it tracks your sleep, and you're walking, and you're jogging, and you're... Who knows what else?
Wrist movements.
Other personal activities.
This one actually does.
Wrist movements.
This one does.
Leander, you should know because you broke yours, right?
No. I haven't actually had one of those.
Okay.
They call it stroke count.
That's how far, how fast you walk.
New feature.
So I'm going to choose the Lego toys. Did you guys see those?
No.
Okay, so this was actually really cool. So Lego was here. And I was really confused because I'm like, what the heck is Lego doing here, right? So I went over and talked to them. So they have these new Lego toys they're coming out with, and they're building in this Linux, this box that runs Linux that you can totally hack and you can build toys around. So you can build all these cool like dragons or dinosaurs or robots, and then you can program how you want them to like move around and stuff. And it integrates with your iPhone or with your Android device. So, like, you can program movements into your phone. So, like, for example, like, the lady was, like, shaking her iPhone around.
Yeah, you guys have to see her phone's hand movement.
Sure. You can imagine me. I'm shaking my hand wildly in the air. It looks really sexy. And as she would shake the phone around, the snake would shake around, right? And actually, the first time I did the recording, she shook her snake at me.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It was an experience. And actually, when she made it lunge at me, it almost bit me because it like lunged at my hand and tried to bite me. And I actually...
Did it spit at you?
No, it didn't spit at me. It was plastic, made of Lego. So yeah, it didn't have that functionality. But it startled the hell out of me. So I like jumped back and I was super embarrassed because I was like, this lady just scared me with this stupid Lego robot.
Snake.
You would have started crying. You would have said, Mummy! That's what you said.
No, I don't think so. I would have like...
You would have slapped,
drop
kicked that stupid snake. Legos would have exploded everywhere. So I thought that was cool. And actually, not to have another favorite, because this wasn't my favorite, but Fisher Price was there too. And they were showing me some iPad cases that they're using to integrate some of their new toys. And they're integrating the iPad into these toy systems in a really cool way. So I thought it was cool to see these toy manufacturers jumping on board with iOS devices. Because, I mean, when I was a kid, like, Legos were bricks. You know, like, these little bricks that I loved, I played with all the time. And now, like, you can build, like, do you?
Yeah, love Legos.
Well, maybe you would like this Lego kit.
I mean,
now you can build freaking robots that you can control with your iPhone. Super cool. So that's my pick. Is there anything else that anyone wants to say, or should we wrap up with that?
I'm done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's late. Let's wrap up. So tomorrow, we're hitting the show floors. There's going to be a zillion gadgets to talk about, and then we have another press event tomorrow night called
Showstoppers,
which is going to be an even bigger ballroom, more drinks, more food,
tomorrow?
More gadgets.
The Wired Party tomorrow is Wednesday.
And we're going to the Wired Party on Wednesday.
Cirque du Soleil there again.
Oh, yeah, that would be great. So, hey, to follow our adventures, we're posting tons of Instagram pictures. Follow Cult Mac on Instagram. Leander is L. Caney, Buster's BST3R on Twitter. I'm Erfon, ERFON. Charlie is Mr. Charlie.
Yes.
And John is Dr. Crypt, DrCrypt. This has been the CultCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. We'll be back for another live episode from Vegas, another CES special episode tomorrow, so make sure you catch that. Thanks for listening. We will see you guys tomorrow.
Next week.
Gross, Leander.
You got me there.
He's got his Fitbit on. His Fitbit.